Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Find them at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard, right there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri. If you haven't been by, it's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. They share a wobble cha-cha-cha, so grab some tacos, some cold drinks, and hang out and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. It's always just a fun hangout over there. They got a lot of fun events going on, including on May 6th. They started this Gaslight Music School. It's a lot of helping the younger children learn more about music and everything. So they're doing a show, the first Gaslight House Band, and it'll be over at Schlafly Tap Room on May 6th. So check that out. On May 7th, back at Gaslight, there's the Sweet Talker in town from Nashville, and the Hushless will be there recording a Gaslight Sessions. So that's May 7th. And May 17th, Gaslight Sessions with Sean James. So check all these out. Full listing of events at GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more information.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Kelsey McClure, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast, the best podcast in the entire universe and multiple galaxies.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Poor Hands Brewery with Kelsey McClure.
That's me.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, we were talking before we got rolling here, but this is like, I think you're episode 20.
September 2014.
Yeah.
So three years ago.
Yeah, it's been 360 something episodes later.
Yeah, congrats on that.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, yeah, it's pretty crazy that that the show's still even going. Like we kind of started it on a whim, you know, and then like me and Chris, and it's nuts that I'm still doing this thing, and it's grown to be what it is. And
that there's so many musicians and comedians and people who are taking part in making St. Louis a kick-ass place to be.
Definitely.
And that you haven't run out yet.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. No shortage of incredible talent around this town, so yeah. But, yeah, I appreciate you meeting back up. We got you kind of left town for a little bit.
I did.
And you're back. And,
yeah.
So I was like, hey, let's get together and hang out and talk about everything you're up to.
For sure.
What was it, in Chicago, right?
Yep. I left St. Louis with a job offer from New Belgium Brewery and moved to Colorado for the summer, and then they ended up sending me to Chicago for work. So only got to enjoy the mountains for a brief time, which was kind of a bummer, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah. Did you, were you getting to do comedy and stuff up there too? Or?
I did. Yeah. I did comedy in Colorado, and then definitely, I had a monthly show in Chicago, actually in a beautiful venue. It's in Talia Hall, which is in Pilsen, and I still can't believe they let me run a comedy show out of their basement, but they did, and it was awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it up there in Chicago. I've never been over to Denver area yet, but yeah, Chicago is, I try to run up there at least once a year, even just for pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, it's and especially with Amtrak, you know, running between the two.
It's like, oh, it's so easy. Yeah, it's like $25 for like a round trip if you plan ahead, and you can hang out on the train and drink on the train if you're so inclined, and take a nap on the train, read a book.
we did that a few years ago. My buddy Sean got married, and we did like 14 guys went up to for his bachelor party to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
We went to a Cards Cubs game, and we took Amtrak up there, and we were we were drinking on the train, and they were fine with that. And then the guys started passing around a bottle of Goldschlager.
Not okay with that?
Yeah, they was, apparently that's frowned upon. So they do draw a line about passing around a bottle of Goldschlager.
Was it because it was Goldschlager, or was it because it was a bottle?
I think it's because we were sitting in our seats and we just kept passing it through the aisle. Everybody would like take a swig off of it.
And so I think it's okay to, like, drink a beer or even maybe your liquor in your cup or whatever, but they didn't want us passing around a bottle.
Yeah.
So they were
you
like,
can drink, but you can't get hammered.
Right.
Okay.
So they were like, hey, don't do that. And I'm like, all right. But other than that, everything was cool. But, yeah, it just kind of – it's a nice way to travel when you can just, like, sit around a table and play cards and stuff, and then you're there. Yeah. So
it's the preferred method of travel between Chicago and St. Louis, for sure.
For sure, yeah, definitely. Well, that's cool that – nice to, you know, here, even though you were, you know, relocated for work and things, that you're still getting able to do – pursue comedy and things. And,
I think actually, so the job I took with New Belgium, I didn't know where I was going to end up. It was just kind of where needed. And there was a Chicago job open. Their sales folks are beer rangers. And I went to Chicago and talked with the team there. And they, you know, they asked you the question, why would you want to come to Chicago? Why would you not? And I was like, honestly, like comedy, that's what I want to do. Yeah. I don't want to lose that part of my life. And it would suck if I went to a really small town where there wasn't a scene.
Sure. Well, yeah, you got like Kyle Kinane and Ron Funches.
Yeah,
and
so many people. And and Hannibal was always coming through. Yeah. Like, they're all, like, the scene to that effect was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't even touch a third of it. Like, there's multiple open mics every night. There's showcases. There's pop-up shows when people come to town. I mean, there's great clubs. The improv scene is crazy. Like, there's just, if you're not getting stage time in Chicago, it's your own fault.
All
because
right.
There is a stage every block,
for sure.
Yeah
that's so that's cool that you're getting to run your own show out of there and you're getting stage time and all that. So,
and lucky for me, beer and comedy, my comedy show in the basement was sponsored by New Belgium, and so, you know, the comedians got their free beer, the bar got their case of beer, and everybody was happy.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you're with
Logboat. Yeah, Logboat Brewing out of Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah, which was not too long ago. I was up there for the Atmosphere.
We ran into each other there.
Brother Ali show. I'm up in Columbia, and then all of a sudden I'd stop at the bar, and I see my friend. So that was it was crazy to bump into you, and you know, of all places, at the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri. So
yeah, that was, I think, the first week that I was back in town, and so it was a very surreal moment for me to see somebody that I know.
Right.
You know, you're in a new city, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, a familiar face. This feels great.
Sure. Yeah, it's weird. Like, that happens to me a lot. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know I got friends all over, but it's like it's. I went to dinner one time in Sykeston, Missouri, down at the Lamberts.
Oh yeah, throw rolls.
Yeah, and I run into a friend from, you know, Wentzville area, and I was like, it's just weird. You drive 3-4 hours away from home, and you still run into people you know. And
yeah,
and
that seems to happen to me a lot. Right. I actually was hiking along the Rio Grande in Texas and ran into a girl that I went to school in Thailand with.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, hey, it's great to see you. We, like, hugged and, like, both walked away because we were, you know, going the opposite direction. But then that evening I was thinking back and was like, how strange is it that someone I haven't seen in 7 years I run into on the border of Mexico and Texas?
Right, yeah. I got friends told me stories about, you know, both being in the Army and stuff, and they were, you know, over in Afghanistan and things, and, like, running into high school friends in Afghanistan. And so like, you know, it's just, that's crazy. You travel across the world, and then you
see a familiar face.
The same hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, small world, that's for sure.
It can be, especially St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, saying, tying comedy and beer together is kind of a running theme through a lot of your recent years. And you are putting together a big show. This would be a comedy storytelling show.
Yeah, it's a storytelling show.
Yeah, so this will be on Saturday, May 13th, down at the Duck Room.
Duck Room.
Blueberry Hill, Del Mar Loop. This is for moms, Mother's Day, right?
Yeah, it's in celebration of moms. It's a show that I've wanted to do for a very long time. My mom, years ago, revealed to me that she wants to do stand-up comedy. That's on her bucket list. And I haven't been able to get her out to an open mic. So I was like, what can I do to get her on stage, but also feel comfortable because, you know, she's not a public speaker. She's a teacher, but she's not out there, you know, yucking it up in front of strangers all of the time. And also just there's so many moms that I know that are great storytellers and mom stories, you know, mom jokes. They're cute and adorable and funny and very true and very personal. And it just so happened that the Saturday before Mother's Day was free at the Duck Room, and I called Bert and said, hey man, is there any chance I can get this day? And he gave it to me within 12 hours, and Mom Show came to fruition.
Nice. Yeah. And you, so you got a couple of comics and their moms are going to be telling stories?
So John Vinigoni is going to be on the show with his mom, and then Jody Warner, she is out of the improv shop. She'll be on the show with her mother. And then my best friend, Sarah Kelly, who actually works at Union Studio, she will be on there with her mom. So.
And then you and your mom? Or?
And then my mom and I will be hosting the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So she's not, I guess this is kind of easing into hopefully getting her to do something. Maybe get her to do some comedy.
I think so. I don't know. I think it's just something she wants to try.
Sure.
I don't think she sees herself, you know, hitting the open mic scene and trying to book time. I think she just, it's something that she wants to do, and so she's going to do it.
All right. Yeah, we got plenty of avenues to give it a try. I think I've kind of been in that, you know, mindset of, like, life's too short to, like, not just give it a try. Like, you
absolutely.
Know, like, I had no, you know, I just wanted to help people, even with the show. Like, I just wanted to help people promote stuff, you know, help my friends out, and then, like,
sure.
I had no idea, like, no plan to go into radio or anything like that, but it's all, I just took a chance, and now
and
it's grown
to
this, like, yeah, so it's just, like, just get out there and do it. Go have fun with it.
And I think this is still one of my favorite quotes. When I first moved back to St. Louis, I went up to the pageant to go see Bert, who's a good friend of mine, and Jim Utz is up there, and he used to do marketing for Vintage Vinyl and now works for Delmar Hall and Pagan Productions. And we were talking about Chicago and St. Louis and the differences. And Chicago's market is very oversaturated. Like, you can have the best idea in the world and put on a killer show and there'll be four people there because there's so many options that night. Whereas in St. Louis, you have to tell people that there's something going on and they'll go to it, you know? And he said, what was it exactly? You know, with a little bit of hustle, you can do whatever you want in St. Louis. And, like, that's exactly what you're doing. That's what I'm working to do with Mom Show. And I've got a couple other show ideas that I've been tossing around. And it's like, you got to go out and do it. And if you fall flat on your face, you know, you figure that out. And then you move on from there.
All right. This will be a 8 p.m. May 13th, Saturday night, and moms get in for free.
Moms get in for free. It's a PG-13 show. That was something my mom requested, and also I think one of her hesitations for going out to open mics is she's very conservative, and so she wanted to be in a place where it was going to be kind and welcoming and not over the top.
Sure. I don't know how many people want to tell dirty jokes in front of their moms anyway, so.
People do it.
Yeah. Right.
I certainly have, and it was a very uncomfortable moment.
I don't know. I'm pretty open in front of my mom, like, you know, whatever, but, like, yeah. Some of that stuff, you got to know your audience.
Absolutely.
So, but, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I love just that idea, too, the storytelling aspect of it all, because... And it's an interesting dynamic having, mother daughter and mother son, you know, combinations telling stories together. So I think it's gonna be a lot of fun up there.
Different dynamics for sure, and everybody's gonna be telling a story in a different way. There's gonna be some improv aspects to Jody and her mom's story. Sarah Kelly is gonna be doing a true false with a story from her mom. And then John and his mom are going to play kind of like a version of like the Newlywed Game over a, you know, event in young Johnny's past. So it'll be cool. And there will be some audiovisual aspects to it as well. So keep everybody entertained and, you know, engaged.
Yeah. You got a couple other things, couple other dates. All of this is like the same week too. So like you're a busy couple of...
It'll be...
couple of nights here.
Yeah.
But May 16th, you are part of the beer aspect of your career. You're doing Logboat Tap Takeover.
Yeah, doing it at the Moolah. So they're doing Cinematique Tuesdays, and they're playing. It's free for the movie. They either play it in the bar, or they also have this small theater. You just go up and drink beer and order pizza and hang out. But they do different things every single Tuesday. And it's all older films or kind of weird stuff off the cusp, stuff that you wouldn't typically see in a theater. But that Tuesday, the 16th, they're doing Richard Pryor films, which I was like, hell yeah, I want in on that. You know, what better way to hang out, drink beer, and watch Richard Pryor? Like,
all right.
For sure, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. You know, do we know what titles of what movies?
I don't know off the top of my head, no.
Got a bunch of good ones though. Not all the stuff that he did with Gene Wilder is some of my favorite stuff. Those two together, like, just some really great movies.
Yeah, Gene Wilder's autobiography actually talks a lot about Richard Pryor, and their chemistry together was purely on screen. Yeah. He said that it was very difficult for them to carry a conversation, and they pretty much just stopped trying because all of their magic and, you know, just greatness. It was always in front of a camera, and then you take that camera out of the equation, and they were just a couple of awkward dudes that, like, didn't really know how to communicate with each other.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, because, like, you would think, like, they could be buddies and stuff.
Yeah. Like, well, that's why they're so great on screen, is because you imagine that they're doing things that they would just be doing, drinking a beer or shooting pool or hanging out together, that it's not something that they created, you know, that they're not acting, that that's just them, you know, in front of the camera, and it turned out to be the opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, like, I'm a big Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, you know, Chris Farley, David Spade stuff, and, like, but those guys were legitimate best friends, like, you know, so it's like, you know, that's why I played off so well on film, because they were, you know, been buddies forever.
For
so,
sure.
So, yeah, it's interesting to hear the other side of that they...
Yeah, you know, so. I was really blown away by that, because, I mean... if you're someone that's into reading and comedy, and even if you're not into comedy, he just has had a very interesting life, and, you know, he knows how to talk, he knows how to write, he knows how to crack jokes. It's a quick read, and it's you learn a lot about Saturday Night Live, you know, how he got the role as Willy Wonka, just, you know, stuff that you don't really ever think about. And you're like, oh, wow, that's really fascinating. I'm glad I know that fact. Yeah. I can talk about it on a podcast
there
one day.
Hey, you looking for some new music? Come check out Music Record Shop in the Dot Zack building in St. Louis, Missouri. Or shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away free tickets or records and all kinds of things, so it pays to support. New records in every Friday, and including this Friday, they'll have records from Gorillaz, J. Cole, U2, Taking Back Sunday, and more. Follow the list if you want to see some more at musicrecordshop.com. And there's always fun live in stores and all kinds of other things, so keep an eye out for more events coming up. And also, they have a great local selection, so if you have heard some bands on the show, you want to check them out, go over there, take a look at their local selection, or if you have a record yourself that you'd like to get on the shelf, see about how you can make that happen. Musicrecordshop.com.
I was get to watching some of these YouTube videos, get, like, stuck in a cycle or whatever. I would start, like, going down a rabbit hole and watching all these videos, and I get to watching these, like, list ones, like top 10, top, you know, whatever, and one of them was this, like, fan theory video about, like, all the, that make these movies, like, even creepier than they are, and there was one about Willy Wonka, and that the fan theory was that Willy Wonka really kills all the kids, like, and stuff, and, like, so they kind of cut it up and, like, played some of the stuff.
Gene Wilde's character was creepy.
Yeah,
it's not too far of a stretch of the imagination.
Right. So, like, and that's why, like, all the Oompa Loompa songs that they sing are all, like, really dark and, like, you know, like, that. So the kids didn't just disappear; they were all, like, killed and stuff, and then, like, then they were put into the candy or something like that or whatever. So I was like, that's messed up, but
yeah. The rabbit hole was actually how I Mom Show kind of came to happen. I was over at my friend Sarah's house. We were watching Tig Notaro videos, and she asked if I'd heard the interview where she brought her wife's mother on stage to tell a joke. and it is like you're like bent over laughing. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And you know, finished watching, I was like, man, like I've always wanted to do this show with moms. And Sarah was like, well, why haven't you done it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'll try and do it. And so just like started looking at concert calendars to see if any venues had that night open, and turns out the Deck Room did. I sent an email, and then boom, it happened.
Well, so the Tap Takeover is the 16th.
16th, yeah.
And then on 19th, you'll be back on the stage.
Yeah.
And
just telling jokes, not producing anything, not writing, well, writing jokes, but I just get to be a stand-up comedian.
And that'll be at the Monocle.
To the Monocle.
For Mimi's...
for Mimi's Giggle Box.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a monthly show.
Which, anybody hasn't been to the Monocle yet, it's over off of Manchester and the entrance to the Grove there.
Yep, right across from Urban Chestnut.
Yeah, really cool, unique room. Like, it's a nice little bar up front.
It's a beautiful space.
And then they got that theater in the back.
There's a cabaret theater in back, and which has been used for far more things than cabaret.
Yeah.
But yeah, you walk in, and if you're like, this is like, it feels kind of swanky, but then you sit down, and the bartenders are super personable and laid back and chill, and it's okay that you're not as well-dressed for the room as you should be.
Yeah. I went there for the first time not too long ago to see my buddy's Sophisticated Babies.
Yeah.
And they were playing right up front, and just hanging out there, and then I asked where the restroom was at, and they were like back there, and then I was opening up the curtain, and it was that whole theater, and I had no idea.
Like, holy cow!
Yeah, I was like, this is beautiful. It was a really unique space, and I was like, and that's the first thing that crossed my mind. I was like, this would be such a cool thing to have like intimate comedy, right there.
And they're doing that now.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see that. I know a couple other people have been doing some things over there too, but I was like, I'm glad to see that this space is being utilized because. If I didn't, not that I know everything, but like I didn't know about it until that moment. So I'm sure there's other people like me that, and I think it'd be really cool to do these comedy things over there. So I'm glad that Mimi and everybody else had similar ideas.
Yeah.
So, come on over there on the 19th. And that's like a kind of a variety show in a sense, right? There's like...
Burlesque, comedy. I'm really not super familiar with the show. I haven't been to the show. And actually how the show happened, I went to the Crack Fox on Thursday, and she was doing burlesque bingo there, which was awesome and perfect. And you're like, oh, yeah, you mix an old person game like bingo with beautiful women who are funny and hilarious and can dance their clothes off.
Right.
And so that was a lot of fun. But she books a comedian to, during halftime or break or whatever, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
To do a set. And the comedian wasn't able to make it that night. She was sick. And I was just like, I'll jump on and do it. And it ended up being great and a lot of fun.
Right.
And yeah. So, and then I was like, hey, please, like anytime you have stage time, like call me. I want to do your shows, because she's a great producer. She's a great MC. She's also just a nice person, which, all of those things combined. Of course I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so I was leaving, and she's like, hey, May 19th. I was like, done. Doing it.
Nice.
So, and then that starts at 10:30.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like it's cool to see that, you're coming back to town, and you're right back into it, and, doing all this stuff, hustling with the comedy and the beer and everything.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah. What, what do you have other stuff you want to do with this? I mean, you think, you think any of this, like, mom show will be more of a regular thing? Or you'll see how this goes? Or
kind of see how this one goes.
Yeah.
I've never produced a show like this before, so I've been reaching out to a lot of people. I've been on a storytelling show. I've never hosted one. I think I can pull it off. I'm like 95% sure. And that 5% doubt is what drives you to make sure you don't mess anything up.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it. If it goes well, I would like to probably annually do the Saturday of celebration of moms before Mother's Day. People are in town looking for things to do, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what better way to hang out with your mom than to take her to a basement bar and joke?
Right. It is kind of crazy to, like, exciting to think about it, though, because, like, you know, a lot of these shows kind of just, obviously, shows all over the country, you know, people starting up things, but, like, I listen to a lot of these podcasts, and, like, I listened to one, they had Josh Adam Myers on, and he was talking about putting when they started, like, the goddamn Comedy Jam, mm-hmm. which is now got picked up by Comedy Central. Like, right. they're doing a version of what they do at the theater show on stage for the network. And, you know, it's just nuts to think that, like, it can work like that. Like, you could, you know, this maybe Mom's Show gets a following and things, you know, and then it turns out you get a series or whatever.
I mean,
you know,
that's the dream, right. But it's the end game is just to put on one sure. really good show.
Exactly.
And for people to enjoy themselves and for moms and their kids to get to hang out somewhere other than the living room.
Right. But it's just nice to know that there's possibilities are endless. Yeah. You know, you never know where this thing could take off. But
yeah, I mean, that was like what happened with Comedy in the Lou. Like, right. it was supposed to just be an online calendar, a place for people to come and see where can I go see comedy tonight, where can I tell jokes tonight, and that was pretty much it. And then a year down the road, it ends up being the presenting partner with, you know, the pageant for Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Like, that blew my mind. Still right. can't believe that even happened.
Sure.
It's like, you don't need promotional help for Dave Chappelle. Like, yeah. it's Dave Chappelle.
I was listening to Stern. I mean, granted, everybody needs a little something, but Stern was just talking about him the other night and how, you know, Dave's got these two new Netflix specials out now and, like,
yeah.
how, but he hasn't come on the show yet. And he's like, you know, he's been trying to, I guess they've reached out and, I don't know, I guess I think he kind of takes it personally, like, maybe you don't like me or whatever, but, and it's like, I don't know that Dave really needs help selling that, I mean, like.
No,
you
know, he doesn't.
He's a superstar.
He's Dave Chappelle.
Right.
If you don't know who Dave Chappelle is, I mean, you know.
Especially when you took, like, 8 years off of doing comedy. And then,
he,
like,
came right back. Like, right. that's the amazing thing. Like, he was gone for, almost a decade.
Yeah.
And then he just comes back and just, and it's like he never left.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. he actually had a joke about that, about how Key and Peele just did his show
yeah,
while
right.
he was away, which,
yeah.
nice jab,
yeah.
Dave. But, yeah, he just walked back on, and with the exception of, like, the Detroit show, which he talks about in his specials, of course there's going to be some kind of, you know, bombing and figuring it back out, but, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's Dave Chappelle.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't watched the Netflix specials yet, but I was at those shows,
at the pageant.
Yeah, at Halloween
yeah.
a couple years ago. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, it was, I mean, you know, he's a pro, but
yeah.
it was definitely awkward at times, like, because, like, they were real big on the no camera stuff, which
yeah.
I wish people would just listen and, like,
right.
respect that they asked you.
Yeah.
You know, and you can tell why, because he's still working on that material.
He was writing the material
yeah.
for his special, and, like, that was, like, what he said. He's like, I'm going to go on tour.
Right.
I'm going to get my special on lock,
yeah.
and then I'm going to go film my special, and that's exactly what he did.
Right.
And I got to go see all 8 shows, which was surreal to a lot of, because he did the same kind of, like, 5 jokes or premises every single night, but he got to them differently. Every single night, he added some things, he took
sure.
some things away, and so, as a comedian, to see that process twice a night for 4 nights in a row, it was kind of mind-blowing
yeah.
and really cool, and that Halloween show was one of the greatest days of my life, because I was dressed up as David Lee Roth, and we were, like, right on the front row by the bar, and he was going down the row being like, what are you supposed to be? And I was like, oh, man, I hope Dave Chappelle acknowledges my presence as a human being. And he gets to me, and he's like, and what are you supposed to be? And I stood up, and I put my foot up on the table, and I was like, I'm David Lee Roth. And he goes, that is the dorkiest costume I have ever seen. I was like, oh, Dave Chappelle. You acknowledged my presence.
Right.
This is amazing. Also, kind of an insult, but not really an insult. I don't know. I feel great.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't get acknowledged by him, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. It was really kick-ass.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to at least attend one of those. But yeah,
for sure.
I imagine that would be pretty, especially as a comic yourself, like, watching him work, you know, doing that, like,
yeah.
and just kind of, and noticing that fact that, like, okay, that didn't work, try this.
And you like, trying again? Yeah. And then also, too, I mean, he had local guys open for him, which is really kick-ass, you know, and he paid them great. Like, Dave Chappelle's, he's the man.
Yeah.
Love Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, too. And I think also around that time, I think of the time when Burroughs came to town and got and Kenny.
And they got suits.
Yeah, and they got
suits.
Yeah,
how kick-ass was that?
Like, so I thought that was a lot of fun. These guys, you know, they're just trying to have a good time, too. So
yeah, when Kenny walked out on that stage wearing a tux, I was like, Kenny, like, what did you do, man? Yeah. Like, why are you wearing a tux? Like, you overdressed. And then you figured out that Hannibal Buress was just like, we're going to wear tuxes tonight.
Yeah, yeah, it happens to be there's a
Tux store,
savvy
yeah.
formal wear or
right
whatever
there.
Next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a funny idea. Like, you know, we're all going to get suits tonight. Let's do it. Going to prom.
Right?
Like, but yeah, no, I like that. You know, these guys are supporting the locals too. And, you know, they could have easily brought in their own people or whatever. But yeah,
for sure.
Nice to give some support to these guys that are out there hustling.
Well, and I think too, like, there are national acts that know they're. When you have, there are certain local acts that if you ask them to be on the show, they're going to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, they might sell only 5 more tickets or 10 more tickets, but that's 10 more tickets that wouldn't have been sold if you weren't going to be on the show. Right. And like people like Bobby and Kenny who got to open for Dave Chappelle, you know, they're excited, they're pumped up, they're telling everybody about it. And of course it sold more tickets, not at Dave Chappelle because it was, you know, sold out from day one.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nuts too, thinking that eight sold out shows in a row.
It sold out so fast. Yeah. When I found out that Comedy in the Lou was good to be a part of the show, they kind of like in passing said like Dave Chappelle is going to do 8 shows, and I thought they meant Dave Chappelle's doing 8 shows across the country, and that St. Louis got to be one of those 8 shows. Like that just makes sense to me. And the first show sold out in like 10 minutes, and I was super excited. And like got on, you know, sent an email, and was like, guys, we did it, we sold out. And they're like, no, Kelsey. We have 7 more shows.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, got it now. No. So that was, you know, a newbie moment for me, but.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's just, that's nuts to think about. Like, you know, that they had that kind of a draw. And like, obviously, people probably went to multiple ones. There's probably some people, but.
For sure. Well, and he, too, he opened up, like, 50. So they sold out, like, to, like, comfortable capacity. And then when he got to the venue, he was like, I want you to sell as many tickets as you can sell.
Yeah.
And so they opened up like 50 more tickets per night. And it was crammed and hot and sweaty and balls to the wall for sure. But there was nobody there that was unhappy.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he walked away with a nice paycheck after that weekend.
Oh, I'm sure he did all right.
Yeah. That's, I don't know, just nuts to think about for me. Like, but, yeah, I guess when you're Dave Chappelle, you can do that kind of stuff, so.
Right.
Well, again, May 13th, Saturday night, 8 p.m., bring your mom.
Moms get in for free.
Yeah, come on over.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And it's PG-13, so if your mom's on the fence about whether or not it's going to be inappropriate, it's going to be... mom appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then again on the 16th, Logboat Tap Takeover at the
Moolah
Theater.
Yep.
And
playing Richard Pryor movies.
Yeah. And May 19th, you can see Kelsey at the Monocle for Mimi's Giggle Box.
Yep.
Show. So, yeah. I appreciate you coming back and hanging out with me. And
thank you, Shane.
It's been a lot of fun catching up with you.
Yeah.
So. But we're going to head out. We're going to, I think, thanks to Four Hands for letting us hang out here today.
Yeah.
So come out to Four Hands and support them. Get you some beer.
They make good beer.
Yeah.
And this is actually where my craft beer job started.
Oh,
my whole career started right here at Four Hands.
Look at that. Full circle.
It's come all the way back around.
Yep. Now you're doing a podcast right here.
Yep.
Yep.
I actually sat at this table. It was a different table, but I sat right here. And interviewed Lewis Black for the RFT.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I convinced him to let me take a half-hour break from putting beer into bottles and came outside and interviewed Lewis Black.
Very cool.
And I just remembered that.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's very cool. That's crazy to think that You got Lewis Black to just come out and hang out over here for a while.
Well, he didn't. It was on the phone. Oh, it was a phone interview. Yeah. No, he didn't show up.
Still very cool.
One day, I'll sit at this table.
There we go.
And I'll interview Lewis Black.
Yeah.
So, Lewis, if you're listening, I'm ready when you are.
He is a big fan, so I'm sure that...
Or Mr. Black. Should I have called him Mr. Black?
I think so. I think
Mr. Black. Yeah. Mr. Black, if you're listening, call me.
Yeah. You got my number. You know where to find me. All right. Well, thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you. Can we have a high five?
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.